Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Last week, I shared a lot from Matthew 11. It's certainly not a typical Advent scripture, but again, just in my devotional time, the Lord had me spending more time in Matthew 11. Also, this section of scripture I shared on last week, but I want to add something that I think is really significant. That's what makes the Word of God so profound to me. I've used this phrase before. It's like a hologram. And every time you turn it just a little bit, you just see a fresh vision, a fresh picture, like a diamond that's cut with many prisms. And there's this different reflection. And this is from Matthew 11, verse 1. Now, when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one? Or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, Go and report to John the things which you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from being offended with me or stumbling over me. So the next section of scripture, Jesus intentionally praises John as those born among women, no one has been greater. Yet he goes on and says, but even the least in the kingdom is greater than John. But he brags on John, he boasts in John. But he says very clearly in verse 6, blessed is he who's not offended with me or stumbles over me, and John had done exactly that. Now what was the offense? This is what we talked about last week. The offense was is that John came, Jesus' cousin, when he saw Jesus come to him while John was baptizing, he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so John's offense was not that Jesus didn't establish the kingdom of heaven. John's offense was is that he believed Jesus had come to take away the sins of the world. And yet it appeared to him that Jesus wasn't doing that. Instead, Jesus was doing things when he heard of the works of Jesus. That's when he sent word. It offended him. He heard that Jesus was doing stuff in Jesus. I confirm that. He says, go back and tell John that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so Jesus is telling John that this is what healing those who are oppressed by the devil looks like. It doesn't just look like forgiveness. It also looks like healing. Jesus came to undo all the horrible things the enemy's done to fallen and broken humanity. And he's saying to John, you are looking for something spiritual, but when I heal someone, that is something spiritual. That is taking away the ravages of the reign of sin in the world. But what I saw this morning, the part of the puzzle that was put together for me better, was that, why did John stumble? Like, why was that an issue for him? And again, that's a good word for all of us to be reminded. We mentioned this last week too. Don't get offended with Jesus when he doesn't do it exactly the way you think he's supposed to. Because I can guarantee you, it's not because he's misunderstood. It's because you've misunderstood. But John came preaching what? Repentance. And his message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Now, Jesus said the same things. It says that about him in Mark chapter 11. He preached that word too. But when John preached about repentance, remember Jesus relates John to Elijah, who was to come, the great Old Testament prophet. And John was the last Old Testament prophet. And their message under the law was to point out sin. So it was all about repentance, and repentance was about seeing your sin. Remember when they started coming to John for baptism, and he saw the Pharisees, and he saw the scribes, and he saw the Sadducees? He began to rebuke them, called them brood of vipers, you know, bring back fruit of repentance. I mean, it was a hard word. But it's an interesting thing about John, that he differentiates his baptism from Jesus's. It says in verse 11 of Matthew 3, As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, and I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fork will be in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse the threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, people read those scriptures and assume he's talking about judgment, but the unquenchable fire of God is God's love. And the baptism that Jesus came was different than John's baptism. John's baptism was repentance. Jesus' baptism was encounter with God and the love of God. A love of God that's so unquenchable it causes us to repent. So John's ministry, like the law, was to point out sin. The purpose of the law, again, God didn't give us the law to keep it. God gave us the law to break it. And then the law stands over us, condemns us, because it drives us to grace. It drives us to Jesus. It drives us to a Savior. And so John's offense was, I believe, that when he heard what Jesus was doing, he couldn't relate to that as being spiritual because he assumed Jesus was going to cleanse the world of sin, and the only way to do that is keep pointing out people's sin and talk about repentance. Because that's what he did. That's what John's ministry was. Proclaiming repentance and then pointing out people's sin. But what did Jesus do? John chapter 1 says, no one has ever seen the Father, but Jesus has explained him. The Old Testament and the Jewish understanding of God, the Father, and they never used the word Father. That's when they really wanted to kill Jesus. When Jesus said that God was his Father, they were already mad at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, but when he said that God was his Father, they said, okay, now we're going to kill him. Because no man calls God Father, because they didn't see him as Abba. They saw him as judge. They saw God as a perfectionist. And here's the thing about God. He's so perfect that he doesn't have to be a perfectionist. He talks about in 1 John about God's perfect love. And there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, casts out fear, it says. So think about Jesus' ministry. What Jesus was doing was healing the sick. He was healing the leper. He was healing the cripple. He was restoring sight to the blind. He was raising dead. And when they were doing that, they were having a confrontation with the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And it caused them to what? Repent. The Old Testament says, repent and points out your sin. The New Covenant, which is Jesus, points to the love of God, to the goodness of God, to the grace of God, which causes us to true repentance, to fully trust him. Think about the woman at the well. Did Jesus condemn her? Everybody in that city did, because they were all living under the law in Sychar. But Jesus promised her a gift before he ever told her about all of her stuff. You've been married 5 times, you're living with a person. And she didn't own that stuff because she was afraid if she did, she couldn't get the living water. But Jesus already told her up front, it's a gift. It's got nothing to do with what you deserve. With the woman caught in adultery, did Jesus condemn her like all those who are under the old covenant? No. Jesus said, does anyone here condemn you? And she said, no. He said, neither do I. And then he said, having encountered the grace of God, go and sin no more. That's the difference. And I believe that's why John was offended. Because Jesus wasn't preaching repentance and pointing out sin. Because to John, in his mind, that's the way you take away the sins of the world. And Jesus is saying to him, I heal the sick. Because and healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and doing all these things that I do, people encounter the goodness of God and they want to surrender everything to Him as a result of that. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's who He is. And so many Christians miss it. Miss out on Christianity because they have a perverted understanding of who God is. They still think of Him as a perfectionist instead of one who walks in perfect love. It's grace that changes us. It's grace that captivates our hearts. It's grace that brings us to our knees. It's grace that causes us to fall down before Him and want to follow Him with extravagant surrender. So I pray today as you come, receive, as you get words, as people pray for you, that you will experience the grace of God. It'll do a deep work inside of you. But even more than ever before, you'll know, you'll want for Him to own everything, because He does. You'll want to say yes to that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand together.